Chapter 17. The Red Sister. Elida was a handsome woman rather than beautiful, and the sternness on her face added maturity to her ageless Aes Sedai features. She did not look old, yet Egwene could never imagine Elida as having been young. Except for the most formal occasions, few Aes Sedai wore the vine-embroidered shawl with the white teardrop flame of Tar Valon, large on the wearer's back, but Elida wore hers, the long red fringe announcing her Aja. Red slashed her dress of cream-colored silk, too, and red slippers peeked under the edge of her skirts as she moved into the room. Her dark eyes watched them as a bird's eyes watched worms.
"So all of you are together. Somehow that does not surprise me."
Her voice made no more pretense than her bearing did. She was a woman of power, and ready to wield it if she decided it was necessary, a woman who knew more than those she spoke to. It was much the same for a queen as for a novice. "Forgive me, Elida Sedai," Nynaeve said, dropping another curtsy, "but I was about to go out. I have much to catch up in my studies. If you will forgive..."
"Your studies can wait," Elida said. "They have waited long enough already, after all."
She plucked the cloth bag out of Nynaeve's hands and undid the strings, but after one glance inside she tossed it on the floor.
"Herbs. You are not a village wisdom any longer, child. Trying to hold on to the past will only hold you back."
"Elida Sedai," Elaine said, "I..."
"Be silent, novice."
Elida's voice was cold and soft, as silk wrapped around steel is soft.
"You may have broken a bond between Tar Valon and Camelin that has lasted 3,000 years. You will spoke when spoken to."
Elaine's eyes examined the floor in front of her toes. Spots of color burned in her cheeks. Guilt or anger? Egwene was not sure. Ignoring them all, Elida sat down in one of the chairs, carefully arranging her skirts. She made no gesture for the rest of them to sit. Nynaeve's face tightened, and she began giving sharp little tugs to her braid. Egwene hoped she would keep her temper well enough not to take the other chair without permission. When Elida had settled herself to her own satisfaction, she studied them for a time in silence, her face unreadable. At last she said,
"Did you know that we have the Black Aja among us?"
Egwene exchanged startled glances with Nynaeve and Elaine.
"We were told," Nynaeve said cautiously.
"Elida Sedai," she added after a pause.
Elida arched an eyebrow.
"Yes, I thought that you might know of it."
Egwene gave a start at her tone, implying so much more than it said, and Nynaeve opened her mouth angrily, but the Aes Sedai's flat stare stilled tongues. "The two of you," Elida went on in a casual tone, "vanish, taking with you the daughter heir of Andor, the woman who may become queen of Andor one day, if I do not strip off her hide and sell it to a glove maker. Vanish without permission, without a word, without a trace."
"I was not carried off," Elaine said to the floor. "I went of my own will."
"Will you obey me, child?"
A glow surrounded Elida. The Aes Sedai's glare was fixed on Elaine.
"Must I teach you here and now?"
Elaine raised her head, and there was no mistaking what was in her face. Anger. For a long moment she met Elida's stare. Egwene's fingernails dug into her palms. It was maddening. She or Elaine or Nynaeve could destroy Elida where she sat. If they caught Elida by surprise, at least, she was fully trained after all.
"And if we do anything but take whatever she wants to feed us, we throw away everything. Don't throw it away now, Elaine."
Elaine's head dropped.
"Forgive me, Elida Sedai," she mumbled. "I forgot myself."
The glow winked out of existence, and Elida sniffed audibly.
"You have learned bad habits wherever these two took you. You cannot afford bad habits, child. You will be the first queen of Andor ever to be Aes Sedai. The first queen anywhere to be Aes Sedai in over 1,000 years. You will be one of the strongest of us since the breaking of the world, perhaps strong enough to be the first ruler since the breaking to openly tell the world she is Aes Sedai. Do not risk all of that, child, because you can still lose it all. I have invested too much time to see that. Do you understand me?"
"I think so, Elida Sedai," Elaine said. She sounded as if she did not understand at all. No more did Egwene. Elida abandoned the subject.
You may be in grave danger, all three of you. You disappear and return, and in the interval, Leandrin and her companions leave us. There will inevitably be comparisons. We are sure Leandrin and those who went with her are dark friends. Black Aja. I would not see the same charge leveled at Elaine, and to protect her it seems I must protect all of you. Tell me why you ran away, and what you have been doing these months, and I will do what I can for you.
Her eyes fastened on Egwene like grappling hooks. Egwene floundered for an answer that the Aes Sedai would accept. It was said that Elida could hear a lie sometimes.
It was Matt. He is very sick.
She tried to choose her words carefully, to say nothing that was not true, yet give an impression far from truth.
Aes Sedai do it all the time.
We brought him back to be healed. If we hadn't, he would die. The Amarlin is going to heal him, I hope.
She made herself continue to meet the red Aes Sedai's gaze, willed herself not to shift her feet guiltily. From Elida's face, there was no way to tell whether she believed a word.
That is enough, Egwene, Nynaeve said.
Elida's penetrating look shifted to her, but she gave no sign of being affected by it. She met the Aes Sedai's eyes without blinking.
Forgive me for interrupting, Elida Sedai, she said smoothly.
But the Amarlin seat said our transgressions were to be put behind us and forgotten. As part of making a new beginning, we are not even to speak of them. The Amarlin said it should be as if they never happened.
She said that, did she?
Still nothing in Elida's voice or on her face told whether she believed or not.
Interesting.
You can hardly forget entirely when your punishment has been announced to the entire tower. Unprecedented, that. Unheard of, for less than stilling. I can see why you are eager to put it all behind you. I understand you are to be raised to the accepted, Elaine. And Egwene. That is hardly punishment.
Elaine glanced at the Aes Sedai as though for permission to speak.
The mother said we were ready, she said. A touch of defiance entered her voice. I have learned, Elida Sedai, and grown. She would not have named me to be raised if I had not.
Learned, Elida said musingly. And grown. Perhaps you have.
There was no hint in her tone whether she thought this was good. Her gaze shifted back to Egwene and Nynaeve, searching.
You returned with this Matt, a youth from your village. There was another young man from your village, Randall Thor.
Egwene felt as if an icy hand had suddenly gripped her stomach.
I hope he is well, Nynaeve said levelly, but her hand was a fist gripping her braid. We have not seen him in some time. An interesting young man, Elida studied them as she spoke. I met him only once, but I found him most interesting. I believe he must be Taviran. Yes, the answers to many questions may rest in him. This Emmons field of yours must be an unusual place to produce the two of you, and Randall Thor.
It is just a village, Nynaeve said. Just a village like any other.
Yes, of course, Elida smiled, a cold quirk of her lips that twisted Egwene's stomach. Tell me about him. The Amarlin has not commanded you to be silent about him also, has she?
Nynaeve gave her braid a tug. Elaine studied the carpet as if something important were hidden in it, and Egwene racked her brain for an answer.
She can hear lies, they say. Light, if she can really hear a lie.
The moment stretched on, until finally Nynaeve opened her mouth. At that instant, the door opened again. Shiriam regarded the room with a measure of surprise.
It is well I find you here, Elaine. I want all three of you. I had not expected you, Elida.
Elida stood, arranging her shawl.
We are all curious about these girls. Why they ran away? What adventures they had while gone? They say the mother has commanded them not to speak of it.
As well not to, Shiriam said. They are to be punished, and that should be an end to it. I have always felt that when punishment is done, the fault that caused it should be erased.
For a long moment the two eyes Sedai stood looking at each other, no expression on either smooth face. Then Elida said,
"Of course. Perhaps I will speak to them another time, about other matters."
The look she gave to the three women in white seemed to Egwene to carry a warning, and then she was slipping past Shiriam. Holding the door open, the mistress of novices watched the other eyes Sedai go down the gallery. Her face was still unreadable. Egwene let out a long breath and heard echoes from Nynaeve and Elaine.
"She threatened me," Elaine said incredulously and half to herself. "She threatened me with stilling if I don't stop being willful."
"You mistook her," Shiriam said. "If being willful were a stilling offense, the list of the stilled would have more names on it than you could learn. Few meek women ever achieve the ring and the shawl. That is not to say, of course, that you must not learn to act meekly when it is required."
"Yes, Shiriam Sedai,"
they all three said almost as one, and Shiriam smiled.
"You see, you can give the appearance of meekness at least. And you will have plenty of opportunity to practice before you earn your way back into the Ammerlin's good graces, and mine. Mine will be harder to achieve."
"Yes, Shiriam Sedai," Egwene said, but this time only Elaine spoke with her.
Nynaeve said, "What of the body, Shiriam Sedai? The soulless. Have you discovered who killed him, or why he entered the tower?"
Shiriam's mouth tightened. "You take one step forward, Nynaeve, and then a step back. Since from Elaine's lack of surprise you have obviously told her of it, after I told you not to speak of the matter, then there are exactly 7 people in the tower who know a man was killed today in the novices' quarters, and 2 of them are men who know no more than that, except that they are to keep their mouths shut. If an order from the mistress of novices carries no weight with you, and if that is so I will correct you, perhaps you will obey one from the Ammerlin seat. You are to speak of this to no one except the mother or me. The Ammerlin will not have more rumors piled on those we must already contend with. Do I make myself clear?"
The firmness of her voice produced a chorus of, "Yes, Shiriam Sedai," but Nynaeve refused to stop at that.
7, you said, Shiriam Sedai, plus whoever killed him, and maybe they had help getting into the tower."
"That is no concern of yours."
Shiriam's level gaze included them all. "I will ask whatever questions must be asked about this man. You will forget you know anything at all about a dead man. If I discover you are doing anything else, well, there are worse things than scrubbing pots to occupy your attention, and I will not accept any excuses. Do I hear any more questions?"
"No, Shiriam Sedai."
This time Nynaeve joined in, to Egwene's relief. Not that she felt very much relief. Shiriam's watchful eye would make it doubly hard to carry out a search for the Black Aja. For a moment she felt like laughing hysterically.
"If the Black Aja doesn't catch us, Shiriam will."
The urge to laugh vanished.
If Shiriam isn't Black Aja herself.
She wished she could make that thought go away. Shiriam nodded.
"Very well, then. You will come with me."
"To where?" Nynaeve asked, and added, "Shiriam Sedai," only an instant before the Aes Sedai's eyes narrowed. "Have you forgotten," Shiriam said in a tight voice, "that in the tower healing is always done in the presence of those who bring their sick to us?" Egwene thought that the mistress of novices' stock of patience with them was about used up, but before she could stop herself she burst out,
"Then she is going to heal him.
The Ammerlin seat herself, among others, will see to him." Shiriam's face held no more expression than her voice.
"Did you have reason to doubt it?"
Egwene could only shake her head. "Then you waste your friend's life standing here. The Ammerlin's seat is not to be kept waiting." Yet despite her words, Egwene had the feeling the Aes Sedai was in no hurry at all.